Australian Bible Church. We're a Presbyterian church focusing Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, eternal Word of God, translated into flesh, crucified for our deliverance, focusing the Bible, the written Word of God, that we may look it up at any time, that we may check it, that we may steer by it, that we may look and see where it is directing us in every problem and in all the opportunities of life. The written word, the living word, the crucified word, the resurrected word, the coming again word. We have moved through themes in the past few months of assurance, faith, truth, biblical authority, love, foreknowledge, predestination, yes, and the fall of Israel, and its predicted restoration already in part occurring. And then we've been looking at the topic of orientation and reorientation. Today, it's a matter of doubt, doubting, and turning dilemma, uncertainty, this, that, how to meet this challenge into victory. This will be the first part, Lord willing, in dealing with that topic for this Sunday and next. There are three headings. Today, the first, decisive dealing with the source of doubt. It has a source. It has to be met at the source. Ephesians 6:10, which we'll be looking at, Lord willing, next Sunday, says, "Be strong in the Lord." Don't just believe, be strong. Don't just believe, act on it. Don't just believe, be convinced of what you ask for when it is according to the Word of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Churchill told England to fight them on the beaches. We shall never give in. A higher spiritual power with a higher purpose. We shall never give in. We who know in Christ, who belong to His people, who belong to the Lord, we shall never give in. Stand therefore, Ephesians 6 goes on. Strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Therefore stand. Having stood, stand. Having committed, continue. Be resolute. Don't just be satisfied. Seek, be zealous. And so, our first consideration is this. The fact that there are terrorist groups, Hamas and Hezbollah, for example, attacking Israel, gives us a convenient stand on which to hang our hat, our cap. The methods they use are very similar to the methods the devil uses against the church. So we can use what they're doing as a sort of index to what the devil's doing to the church. We're looking at the structure of it, the modes of attack. First, of course, there is the question, as we examine that, to meet it, as Israel has to meet this convenient illustration. First, we have to consider the source of this. It is an endless, constant hatred, satisfied with nothing but obliteration. Turn that to the devil. Make that a symbol. Turn that to the devil. He has an endless hatred and determination to ruin the church of Christ so that it ceases to exist. It's exactly the same sort of thing. Then, of course, the channels of delivery. In my opinion, one of the greatest channels of delivery is discrimination. Go to the United Nations and complain. 13 Israelis were killed and 100 Palestinians. Who were killed? Well, whoever it is, there are numbers of bodies involved. In the Great World War, Berlin was almost obliterated. It seemed important. Why? Because Hitler was trying to subjugate the world. When Israel responds to thousands of rockets put onto innocent children who have to live with this, it is to be reproved. The United Nations has set about it. And what an answer was given by the Israeli ambassador to Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan, it is the most elegant, amazing exposure of the fraud of endeavoring to get the nations against it. So with the church. Tremendous evils are wrought, not least in the Inquisition, where it appears millions may have been sacrificed, their wealth taken, their kids left orphans, in many cases. That was one of the assaults on the church, where a piece of bread is worshipped. Miracles are things you see and hear, as the apostle said, not things you imagine. There is no demonstration in imagination. It is what happens. And what happened in the resurrection? Channels discrimination. So obvious in the dealings of the UN that it is almost a riot. An uproarious riot. How could anyone possibly be so discriminatory and so judicially blind? But also, it's a question of the media. They present the same picture. They tend to do this. There are exceptions, but there's a tremendous thrust. Blast Israel. So in the media, increasingly, a tremendous thrust, ignoring Christ, depreciating Christ, failing to observe Christ, becoming more and more neutralized or antagonistic than this government, as in what I've mentioned several times, the government of Victoria. For following biblical instructions, and the main things for the Christian are the living word and the written word, you can be penalized. There is an atheist corner to Australia, governmentally speaking. Similarly, all sorts of sanctions that have come from the UN are mirrored in the devil's attacks on the church. Penalties on the church. Oh, yes. For one thing, their children in many, many countries are forcibly fed philosophical poison under the heading of science. It isn't scientific. Strictly academically, it is scientism. That is the word. A misuse of science in order to create something different, an illusory substitute for the real thing, and it's just simply foolish philosophy. Starting from nowhere, great solution to how we happen to be here. Going on, removing the worst, and that's how you get the best. What rubbish! You have to produce what you have. You don't just remove what you've already got, the bad ones. You have to produce something to have from which to remove the bad. This extraordinary blindness is exactly what the Bible, of course, predicts. And so that sort of thing, it goes on as one of the channels of delivering education and systematic misinstruction. And then we come to their methods of dispatch. I have found in seeking with the government here in South Australia or the opposition, seeking to gain some sort of restoration to logical scientific material at this particular level where science is abused and misused and the students are abused and misused. The answer, an appeal to authority. Oh, that is what everybody says. What's that got to do with it? Everybody can say right or wrong. An appeal to authority, and I've got to say, now it's coming to the point of national delusion. An assumption so widespread. I mean, look at Hitler. There was a national delusion there. It's not unknown. It's quite common. A national delusion concerning getting everything from nowhere and getting things better from no production. A national delusion fed to the children so that they also might be deluded, and you can't help thinking of the flood in Genesis. Its description of why God did it, why God inundated the earth, why God made such a tremendous watery grave for nearly all. And how it's shown in the rocks, vast valleys coming from mountaintops, amazing crags left, things carved and distorted all over the place. Tremendous testimony of the flood. Why did it happen then? And the Lord said, 6:3 of Genesis, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. There were giants on the earth in those days, and it continues to tell us more things. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. In verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man, the wickedness, to be wicked, that's a very severe denunciation of something. But this is far worse than that. And so the consequences were colossal, and they will be again as man moves very much towards the Tower of Babel in the UN. And things very much are like verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. Great wickedness. Whew. There is a stunning ensemble of judgment. Well, the result was a pretty stunning ensemble of tragedy. Travesty. Man laughing at God, tragedy, God judging. He's not here to laugh at it, to ignore, or to change. He's here to look after his creation and bring them into the wonderful things that they could have and should have and didn't have. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and every intent of the thoughts. The whole purpose, the whole arrangement of thinkings and motivations and all the rest of it, every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. That's now, increasingly. There's a swamp of spiritual malodorous mess that is inundating more and more of the earth, so that everybody wants to fight. Everybody wants to be separate. Everybody wants to different. Everyone that has half a chance wants to take over, whether it be Russia or whether it be China or whether it be whatever, Iran, or all the nations have their plans. Oh, what's best for man? We will do it. And people all over the place are beginning to act as if they were gods. And on the other side, they say, well, why isn't God looking after us better? This will never do. Never do. That is part of the national delusion. And that, in turn, is one of the channels of delivery. And it's the same sort of thing with the church. The church is made superficial. The Bible is attacked even in churches, as 2 Peter chapter 2 says would happen. From within yourselves there will come false teachers, etc. Then the intimidating tactics. Oh, there was a book written which gave all the activities of a man who researched what happens in universities in the field of religion. And he came with practical experiences, you could say experiments. He went to a lot of these places and checked. And what did he find? Tenure. That means if you're a professor or a lecturer, the university is going to keep you. You're not just here today and gone tomorrow. Tenure, the more permanent type of job. That was very distinctly denied to those who were Christians, those who taught with that particular perspective. Now, as I said, when I was teaching in one of these institutions, I said, what have I done wrong that you insist I stop this? Nothing. It's just not convenient to have you do it. But I have to tell the truth. The truth. Mocked the truth. That is part of the national delusion. And then we come to these intimidatory tactics. You see, that's intimidation. Didn't intimidate me, but it did cost me the job. Threats. What happened to the Jewish billionaire that Russia put in prison, working near a uranium area where there would be radioactivity? Well, the government took over all these assets. That's what happened. And the same thing happens with the church. We're hanging our hats on all these various points of the similarity. Just as these things can happen in one area where dedicated, triumphalistic desire for greatness on the part of a nation or a people or whatever swallows up all restraint. And that also is the same in the church. Let their children be taught for 12 years or something of this kind. Let them be continually harassed with the airy nonsense. Everything came from nothing. It's always been like this, oh, has it? Well, since it began, they all admit that it began because energy becomes less available and it's got to have something because otherwise it'll all be gone. It had to start, that's acknowledged. But the actual start doesn't have to happen, you just use that with words. The cracked foundation. We're not seen as a cursed race under huge toleration from divinity. Offered the most amazing escalator from the depths to the heights in the cross of Christ, his taking of the penalty, his presentation of a new, absolutely new creation, his offer of adoption amongst the children of God, his return to pick up his people, coming nearer and nearer as events so proceed. And what does the earth show? Bubbling bluster of words. Bubbling bluster. You say, but you're telling us how we're going to have a wonderful world and how everything's going to settle down and we're going to cease hating one another and we're going to, yes, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I've seen hatred. I've seen results. I've seen a world which can hardly stand one group with another. I've seen plagues. I've seen people asking for plagues. They are the predicted plagues. This is done in notorious insolence. Man laughing at, mocking, despising, annihilating in his thoughts God. Oh no, we don't need that. This bubbling bluster. Why don't you need it? Are you showing peace? Are you learning how to tolerate one another? Are you looking at your beginning? As you should in anything? Where did it come from? Why? What's it for? What options are there? No. The results become worse, like an ever-increasing tuberculosis or other disease of a slow character, but now its rate is extremely increased. Look at this amazing statement and very penetrating of Jesus Christ in John 8. John 8:45. Because I tell you the truth. Hello? Jesus is telling them the truth. And because of that, yes, what? Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Because I tell you the truth, you cannot tolerate truth. It is alien to your character. Contrary to your nature is the assertion of Christ speaking to those who ended up crucifying him. And this is what is happening in the church. As I have been to various seminaries and in various churches throughout the world, I have seen this. There are those who turn back to the Bible. There used to be even a radio program, Back to the Bible. And those who say they're Christians, say they're believers, say they believe in Christ, and then change the Christ, make him a revolutionary or a clown, use it to mock. They have a transformed Christianity. We could call them transformationalists, and they are many in different groups called theologies. Not that all theology is wrong, but very much of it. Inventive theologies, ways of looking like the real thing, like real estate trying to sell land which turns out to be a swamp and to do it just electronically and that sort of thing. Because I tell you the truth, there's one thing that I will not stand, it is the truth. So well shown by that very exalted official with whom I dealt. What is truth? It was explicit. Truth is disdained. People like to think they can't get it. So the church is attacked. And just the same with Israel and the UN. Truth is attacked. Truth is attacked. Facts are ignored. Every time there's been an offer of a solution, of a resolution, as with Clinton, as in 1947 with the UN, solutions were offered, and the attackers of Israel said no, and Israel said yes. A slight difference. And yet Israel is to be blamed. So the church, every time there is a solution offered for this or that or the other, a spiritual solution, a biblical solution, no, it will not be taken, and no, the church will increasingly be turned into little factories or schools. Church buildings will go. The percentage who believe in God, still very considerable, but those who believe in this God, this Christ, this cross, this solution, the percentage of those who do not molest the church, either with indifference or other assaults. So this leads to a huge effrontery. But the fact is, if God could create the earth and the heavens and the morals of man and the mentality of man and the spirit of man and the form of man and the magnificent features in the genes of men, the written instructions to fill 1,000 volumes, if you put it into our ordinary words, sitting in our cells, in our nucleated cells. If God can do that, what can he not do? Well, he can equally resurrect. He can bring a new life, a new power, a new pardon, a new peace, a new position. He can even make it easy to enter. If he can do the first, he can do the second. How obvious. It didn't invent itself, and nature didn't invent itself either. It all had to be made. Salvation had to be made. That's where the cross enters in. Resurrection had to demonstrate it on top of all the thousands Christ healed, leading to such a difficulty for the religious authorities of the time, according to the prediction. And what about the tunnels? Continuing to use this parallel. Recently, Israel blasted a huge amount of an even huger amount of tunnels. The tunnels are really murder channels, murder channels. Can you imagine square miles of tunnels near Washington? Can you imagine people surging through these to murder anybody that they happen to think of, using them to store bombs on Washington? The thought is ridiculous. And that's what's been found, that there are square miles, there are huge amounts of underground murder channels called tunnels. People come forth to kill anybody round. They find it a convenient way and place. So Israel has blasted it once and for all. After receiving a few thousand rockets, indiscriminately killing Israeli kids and all the rest of it, why does it not cease? Because of an enduring hatred, an enduring insistence it must stop. And the same with Christianity, to apply that parallel. Christianity must stop. Hugely important figures enter into strange new world ways. There's even one where people have to rent. Nobody owns anything. But as was pointed out, well, in that case, who gets the rent? Obviously, delusive communist style attempts for few to govern the many through delusion. Killer tunnels. So the killer tunnels, I mean, get the kids. If you can brainwash the kids, you're well on the way to the next generation. And a marvelous prospect of a new Babel, a new building of man unified, don't notice it, into this hatred of God, insistence on man, and making man into God. And man is not very good at being God. He doesn't know enough. He's not pure enough. He's not understanding enough. He's not compassionate enough. He's not skilled enough, and he's not hearty enough. Such is the deficiency and defect. So the tunnels of murder are the same with the Christian church. All sorts of way of dismantling its dignity, removing its power, letting it call itself a church in many cases nowadays, whilst removing the heart of the gospel, turning it into something else. It's the same happened even earlier, as you see in 2 Corinthians 10, 11. People came along and used the name of Christ in order to subvert the church, own the church, direct the church, take over. And Paul called them false apostles. He said, they're measuring themselves by themselves. In other words, why should I believe you? Oh, we have the answers. This is the deep thing. This is the great thing. Follow us. And many of the sects have been more or less done that. But Paul says they're false apostles. They're deceitful workers. They are delusive agents, making for the delusive nations and the deluded world. That's why the world is becoming increasingly ridiculous. Hatred, division, dedicated misunderstanding, immovable ludicrousness, egotism, thrusting arrogance, endless division, disease, disaster, a whole wallowing mess, like a lake turned into a diseased swamp. And how can you expect it to work when all these steps are taken? And that, therefore, shows us what's necessary in return to 1 Peter 5, what's necessary, and what's necessary is a return to the harmony, beauty of peace and joy and love and power and discipline. You can't just do anything anyway and expect that to work. God has a way. He's got a new way. You're invited freely. If you don't take it, then go the other way. And the other way is the way, quite frankly, of garbage called hell. So we end up with a look at 1 Peter 5, dealing with this whole matter This aspect we've been looking at this morning then has been looking at the source of doubt and looking at the first matter, decisively dealing with it. And next time we will hope to cover the other aspects. So we just look at this in 1 Peter 5. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Is it too much to ask somebody to look upon God as superior, as sacred, as special, as delightful? Look at all the delightful things he's given and man has ruined. Look at individual lives, prospect, potential, pollution, pleasure. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting each care, Philippians 4, because he invites it. Astonishing? Yes, but it's also a command. Do it. Don't just think of how nice it would be. Be sober. Don't engage in foolish dreams. Be vigilant. Keep your eyes open for all the devilish, devious delusions and tricks. Watch that you work where Christ is exalted, unimpeded and uncompromised by company, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a working lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's it. Virtue is devoured by vice. Beauty is devoured by ugliness. Order and organization is devoured by war. Walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Nothing less. Undying hate. Indomitable intentions to rule, to ruin, to substitute, to take over. It's a lot to take over. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. You're not the only one. This is a common pathological situation. But there is an answer. But may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, there is a process of purification and purging and presentation of stability. After you have suffered a while, and we finish with this, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, but especially for thy work. As Christ said, if you don't believe me, believe my word for the work's sake. Look at the evidence. Our Father, we thank thee for the evidence, the logic, the power, the history, and the challenges. What plane can perform unless it's given the opportunity to find the power of God, in whom we rest. In Jesus' name, amen.